Hey everybody, this is Sam with National Sports Overtime. Told you I was going to start doing more episodes over here as we got into football season. It has definitely been the dog days of baseball for me, the dog days of summer. I have been counting down until we could get not only the NFL, which we have the last 2 weeks, but college football. But as I'm getting ready for the season, different players are having different media interviews and interactions. And I'm going to be doing, I hope, a couple different episodes today. I don't know if they'll all get released today or I'll release some tomorrow. But as I am doing some research and watching things, I came across Tom Carneda's story of his interview that he did, and part of me couldn't help but giggle a little. You have to understand that I am a Bill Belichick fan. There was a lot of times that I didn't know if I should trust him. When I first started rooting for them was before Belichick's first Super Bowl. I liked how he ran things. He was a friend and mentor to Urban Meyer, who was Florida's coach. You guys know I'm a Florida Gator. And Coach Bobby Knight spent a lot of time with him in his beginning years. And I grew up basically on Bobby Knight basketball due to my dad. So I've just always kind of followed them. And then I enjoyed some of the players that they got on their team. Yes, Tom Brady is one. I actually remember Michigan when Tom Brady was there. And I am blanking on the baseball pitcher. Was it Chad Henning? I don't know. My little sister followed Michigan because of the 5-5. And Brian Greasy Jr. Brian Greasy was a quarterback there. I'm trying to think who else was a quarterback there that I followed. But I knew of Tom Brady. Did I think he was going to be what he is now? No way. But I liked Teddy Bruschi. I liked, I'm drawing a blank on all of their names. But slowly, Belichick started getting rid of them probably a year, maybe 2 years before they started their slide. And I realized with me being a coach, I realize with being a business person and everything, you have to do that. It's just hard on us fans who really follow them, know a lot of their different stories and can tell and talk about them, not only in the football game sense, but in just their life sense where, you know, it has taken them and who has turned out to be a TV announcer and it actually worked and who hasn't and stuff like that. I never gave up on them when they were playing Atlanta in the Super Bowl. And I got a lot of grief for that. You know, I had people texting me and laughing. I had people wanting to turn the TV off. And for those of you who don't remember, this was the famous choke game. Atlanta Falcons had the lead 28-3. Now, if you go up to the New England area, 328 is even a thing. They all celebrate that day and think it's absolutely hilarious. It has been the worst collapse, I think, ever in football. Maybe, I don't know, you might be able to make a case for it ever, but it's definitely the worst collapse in Super Bowl history. But I think a lot of Falcon fans are trying to forget it, and they didn't think that it could get any worse. Well, it has. You know, they have been the butt of many, 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 many jokes. But they got blindsided. I guess it was yesterday. It may have been the day before. Because Arizona, of all places, has got two players who are trying out for the team. They're expected to make the team. One is a former Falcons player, and the other is a former Patriots player. And they're both teammates on Arizona. Well, this may not make them great teammates. Their cornerbacks, Robert Alford and Malcolm Butler. Yes, that Malcolm Butler, but we're not talking about him. Both of them are trying to really resurrect their careers. They've been popping around, and I don't know whether he did it to get some fame, to get some credit, to, I don't know, to make the Arizona fans love him and hate Alford. I don't know. But Butler's interview with the media just threw Alford under the bus. So what happened was the former Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler was one of the Falcons, or excuse me, the former Atlanta cornerback Robert Alford, and I'm going to give you some memories from that game. You'll remember who he is. He was one of the Falcons' starting cornerbacks that made a run at that Super Bowl. He actually was helping them win. He was the guy who picked off Tom Brady right before halftime. And I'm talking right before halftime. He ended up taking that interception to the house, and he gave Atlanta a 21-0 lead with 2 minutes, 21 seconds left in the second quarter. It was the one play that everybody would have remembered, because Tom Brady, if you remember the memes were going around at halftime. He attempted to trip Robert Alford on his way to the end zone, and it wasn't even a very good attempt. Well, I don't even know how to explain it. The final 18 minutes, I think, of the game, the Patriots scored 31 unanswered points. And as they went in at halftime, like I said, they were ahead 28-3. What Malcolm Butler said was he, meaning Robert Alford, the Atlanta's quarterback, told me he was about to pop a bottle to celebrate in the locker room at halftime. And Butler just kind of looked at him. Because here's the thing. Robert Alford, if you go back and watch that game, he is actually the cornerback that is covering Julian Edmond when he makes that out of this world insane circus catch that led to the game tying touchdown. Robert Alford is the Falcon that tipped the ball in the air. He actually, I guess what I'm saying is, could have been one of the heroes of this game. But because he felt like he had a game-clinching interception going into the locker room, that he thought by that interception, that touchdown, Tom Brady trying to trip him, that he had definitely frustrated the Patriots and was in the process of putting a nail into their coffin. So, you know, he felt like, you know, they were all celebrating at halftime. He wanted to pop a bottle. He said he didn't. But it's just really weird to have a team celebrating and trying to, like, fast forward over 30 minutes. Because that's how long they had to play in the second half. You know, the Patriots roared back. And before that, the best comeback had been 10 points. And this was just unreal. As for Butler, some people have asked, why tell the story? Alford and you were reminiscing, and you choose this story to tell? And, you know, I know the New England Patriots are going to say, ah, it's all fun and games. It's over now. There's going to be all kinds of stories coming out next couple years about what the Patriots did, what other teams did. It's water under the bridge. The thing is I saw that Robert Alford was trending some yesterday. Like I said, I think it was the day before he actually gave the interview. And it didn't really seem favorable. But when I clicked on the topic on Twitter, I was there too late to find out exactly what had been said. And I really didn't dig into it because it wasn't clicking with me that it was the Super Bowl game against the Patriots that he was talking about. And I didn't remember, you know, Alford. But I don't know. I think this story is probably more typical than what we think. I think there's a lot of NBA basketball teams that celebrate at halftime. I think there's football teams that celebrate at halftime. I think there's high school teams out there that celebrate at halftime. And I enjoyed one comment on Twitter where a guy said, well, Butler did this because perhaps Bill Belichick didn't teach Butler enough of a lesson on how to be a better teammate after he benched him for the Super Bowl the following year. And I thought that was interesting. But just a little story for your morning commute. I wanted to make sure that I got some different stories out on some different podcasts about, you know, things are going on. That's some of the stuff that you're going to hear. Of course, we're going to go in depth like we did about Tim Tebow, and I hope that all of you saw on social media that we're getting closer on the website. I hope some of you click some buttons, went through there. If you hit the button, National Sports Overtime, you'll be able to hear all the podcasts right there. If you want to go there to listen, or, you know, you can get them on any of your major platforms on podcast. I usually recommend Spotify. Why? Because they're one of the bigger ones. Apple right now is having problems. It's taking them 24 to 72 hours sometimes to post things. And so I've been kind of laying off the Apple train. Me personally, I use Pocket Cast. Have for 3 or 4 years now. I love them. But when you went to theovertimenetwork.com, you saw all the other podcasts that we have up there, from the Daily Sports Betting podcast, where I try to bet on as many games in a day as I can, and we let the cards fall where they may. And quite a few people have written me and told me, oh, I'm not betting with you. I just listen every day to laugh at you when you lose or to celebrate with you when you win. And I was like, well, at least you're listening to that, I guess. West Virginia Overtime, of course, is about West Virginia sports. I was hoping to get a lot of podcasts up. My real life has interfered with that, so that hasn't really worked. If you're a pro wrestling fan, I started a different wrestling, it was called Wrestling Overtime is what it was called, a podcast about a year and a half ago, and did 400 or 500 episodes there and just decided I didn't like how the format I was doing. And I thought with all of the people there If they were expecting that, they would write me and tell me, I don't like how you're doing it now. Well, that's kind of the way I wanted to do it. So, I think that was also part of the issue. So I just kind of slowly slowed down on wrestling overtime, cut it off, started pro wrestling overtime, where we're talking more about topics. We're talking about booking, we're talking about wrestlers' careers, even old wrestlers that maybe someone has mentioned to me and I'm like, huh, I know nothing about that. I need to go back and find that. And Vivian Vachon was one of those. And so I have been doing some stuff over there. So National Sports Overtime is going to get some of my focus here since we're ramping it up. And then I have another podcast that I did on a weekly basis. It's about 2 years ago. I kind of stopped doing it about 8 months ago. It got boring for me. And so, again, changed the name, changed the format, and are in the process of bringing Paranormal Overtime back. So you will hopefully have 5 different podcasts from the Overtime Network. I was trying to use Spotify Green Rooms so that we could talk. Maybe it's a little too early. So going to keep that on the back burner. As far as articles, I know some of you clicked on sports articles. There wasn't any there. I'm in the process of transferring all of my older sports articles over. That's the reason why you got to see 4 wrestling articles. I've only done 4. But I'm in the process of transferring my writing from Medium and from the different sites and making sure they're credited and that I'm working things out with them. So you're going to see articles, old articles first, and then, of course, newer articles are going to pop up very soon, I hope. But I hope you enjoy this story for kind of your morning commute. And I hope to talk to you guys later. And I even hope even more that I see you somewhere down the road.